Welcome to Wine About History. I'm your host, Max Hamill, and with me as always is Patty.
Hello, everyone.
And today we're talking about the infamous Burke and Hare murders because I got into Halloween mood.
Ooh, Halloween's a month away, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm one of those people that loved Halloween. I loved Halloween before it was cool, okay? I loved it in like middle school where everyone thought you were weird because you got all excited for an entire month.
Yep. Kids love Halloween, though. Free candy. Does it get any better if you're a kid? I remember as a kid just thinking, people just give me candy. All I do is show up at their door, and they just give me candy. It doesn't get any better.
Maybe we should do an episode on Halloween.
We should. The history of Halloween. I just smacked my mic. Yeah. Oops. I got so excited. I just whacked my mic across the room. But no, yeah, the history of Halloween.
I get excited about this. You'd be headbutting my mic.
We'll find a good pumpkin wine. No.
No. See, I've tried those pumpkin beers. At best, they're interesting.
That's true. Yeah.
At best. Some are actually serviceable.
Yeah. I mean, they're fun. Gets you in the mood. Pumpkin spice everything this time of year. So why not a pumpkin spice beer? It's an excuse to drink some interesting beer. So, speaking of drinking, what are we drinking tonight, Max?
La Crema Monterey 2016 Pinot Noir.
Let's have a taste.
I bet you're wondering, Max, wouldn't one of the 19 Crimes wine be perfect for this? And yes, your answer, you are absolutely right, dear listener. I am also terrible at planning. So.
Well, I bought the wine. I bought it because it was on sale, actually. It's $4 off. I thought that was a pretty good deal, so I grabbed it. And I like it. It tastes really good, actually. I haven't had La Crema, Pinot Noir, but I've had the Chardonnay. I really like it.
I like this, too.
Yeah, this is good.
Not my favorite, but if you put it on the table, I'd be happy to get another bottle.
Why isn't it your favorite? What are we tasting here?
Not much of anything. Sorry, La Crema. No, I do enjoy it. It has a subtle flavor. Is the best way to express that, as a subtle flavor.
So, there is kind of a tie-in with La Crema.
What
tie-in
is that?
Because our killers La Crema'd everybody. Creamed everybody. I don't know. We're kind of going downhill right now. Sorry. Just trying to think of a tie-in to the wine because I bought the wrong wine.
Kind of. That's not your fault. I should have had a case of 19 Crimes ready.
I know. We could do so many episodes with that wine because so many of the people we talk about are psycho killers. All right. So tell me about these guys. Tell me about these bad guys.
So, Edinburgh, Scotland.
I like it already.
Mid/early 1800s. 1826, 1827, 1820, etc.
Okay.
It was the foremost place in medical advances. And to such a degree that it was considered the medical capital of the Western world at that time. And a very, very important part of research was the dissection of bodies. The issue is, because of Scottish laws, you could only get the bodies of condemned criminals, beggars, things of that nature. So,
because most people probably wanted to be buried. I think there was sort of a superstition about.
Yeah, if you don't get buried a certain way, you're going to go to hell.
Yeah.
Do we swear? Ooh, this will have to be an explicit episode.
You can talk about murder, but you can't
swear.
No, we keep like it clean that on this show.
So what happened was this underground trade in dead bodies. And that's why you'll see a lot of strange cages and other things in cemeteries and towers in cemeteries because there is this big body snatching mafia, basically. They were organized criminals. Two friends would sneak in, dig a body, and sell it for a lot of money. And there was deterrence to that. There were militias. There was towers built. There are a lot of, they look like anti-vampire devices and anti-zombie, but they're really just cages over the bodies. And legally, this was actually legal to do. As long as you didn't take their possessions Because body grave robbing, you associate with going to get, you know, someone's wash that they were buried in, things like that. But really, the body itself wasn't technically illegal. So this was like prohibition and bootlegging during prohibition. It was illegal, but there were ways to get around it. So, but what happened was some people just started killing people because it was easier to cut some beggar's throat than it was to go
dig up a body.
And so the cemeteries were very well guarded. And the most infamous of this were the Burke and Hare murders. Now imagine a crowd of 25,000 people cheering on the 28th of January, 1829, as William Burke was hanged.
I'm picturing it.
Picture. The noose is placed around his neck, prayers are said, and he drops.
They say it's not a bad way to go, actually. It's pretty quick, right?
Yes. If it's done well, your neck breaks, and you don't feel anything.
Still, but the icky part is like...
The fact that you're going to die is pretty icky.
Having your hands and legs bound and, yeah, something put around your neck.
And your waist. They put a heavy weighted suit on you.
Oh, that's right, yeah. So you drop. Ugh, yeah.
Now, how did it go from selling bodies for medical research and furthering the human race to killing and the hanging of a murderer? Well, this is that story.
All right, I'm ready.
So, Burke and Hare were both Irish immigrants that migrated to Scotland looking for work. Burke was religious and devout, and Hare was violent and drunken. That's what their reputations were. And they had their romantic partners, Helen and Margaret, respectively. And all four were part of this murder ring.
Okay.
They killed roughly 16 to 18 people.
Aww.
Between 1827 and 1828. So here's what really happened. Here's how it all began. Donaldson was a pensioner veteran living in Hare's lodging house, which was like an apartment building for the time. And Donaldson was very old, and he was passing away, and then he passed away. And so what happened was he passed away owing Burke £4 in back rent. That is a lot of money back then. That is a ton of money. So what did they do?
What did they do?
They hid the body. They took it out of the coffin, hid the body, filled the coffin full of bark from the local tanner, and then sold the body to Dr. Knox, who is the Sanjay Gupta of the time. He was one of the greatest medical minds of the time. They sold them for £7.10.
Wow.
And
a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. I couldn't actually find the right figure, but I think it was something. It was in the thousands of dollars. Like tens of thousands of dollars. If maybe 10,000. I mean, I tried to find a rough estimate, but it was difficult. The killings continued. In 1828, a tenant named Joseph became ill, very ill. But they didn't know he would die, so Burke and Hare got him drunk with whiskey, held him down, and then Burke put his hand, or closed his nose with his fingers, and put his hand around his mouth and smothered him while
Aww.
He was drunk. Now,
Poor
this
guy.
Left no visible wounds on the body, and the victim was perfect for dissection.
But he was sick
mm-hmm.
and drunk.
Mm-hmm. Never be sick and drunk, friends. I've been there. It's never fun. So, this method of smothering a drunken victim became known as burking. In
Whoa.
Fact, yeah. In fact, on the... Well, they killed like 18 people, so you get famous doing that. In fact, while Burke was being hanged, the crowd was screaming, "Burke him! Burke him! Burke him!"
No way. Give him a taste of his own medicine.
Yeah.
Hanging's too good for him.
Yeah. You ever hear that thunder?
We have a thunderstorm going on.
I'm not editing it out. It adds to the mood.
We are not in a soundproof studio right now.
Why would you want to be? So, Professionalism.
That.
maybe to actually do the job well, Max. So this goes on for some time, and one clue, one when we began to unravel, was when one victim, Mary Patterson, went over to the Hare's lodging house with her friend Janet Brown. Both were local prostitutes. And Janet excused herself from the lodging house, couldn't find Mary, came back, waited, decided to leave. Well, Mary had been murdered.
Oh.
And she was recognized by some of Dr. Knox's students, because the dissecting would take place in front of a kind of a little amphitheater, and they would do like this conversational, okay, this is the bone, this is what you do, and it was kind of like a theater, and medical examination, autopsy, and education all wrapped in one. Well,
and Mary, the guys were like, I know her.
Well, they knew her face, and they also knew her body, because she was a prostitute.
She got around.
So that's when the suspicion started to mount, like, wait, I saw her last week.
And she was fine.
She was fine. Mm-hmm. Around this time, Burke got his own lodging house. So they're raking in money. Mm-hmm. 18 murders, $10,000, you do the math there, I'm drinking wine.
Mm-hmm. I can do the math.
I think I'm going to have another sip.
They made some good... Yeah, it's good, isn't it? I'm telling you, that's good wine.
Yeah, I actually am thinking about getting some more. Yeah, it is a subtle flavor, but I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a Pinot Noir for you. So anyway, so they are getting money, and people are probably like, how?
Oh, yeah, and then Burke got his own lodging house around this time. So they're all dressed up in finery. And, I mean, this was huge.
Well, here's the thing. If you have ill-gotten gains... Mm-hmm. And you don't really have a day job, or your day job doesn't pay much.
Well, they're lodging. They're in the lodging business.
Oh, the lodging business. And they made way more than everybody mm-hmm. else in the lodging. I don't know. I think, don't be flashy.
This case was famous for a long time. There were even movies made about it. there were a lot of short stories written about it. In fact, one was made into a movie called The Body Snatcher. It was released in 1945. And they actually bring up the murders in the middle of the movie. And this is Boris Karloff talking to his talking to someone in the movie.
Bugs the hellish pair, the villain Burke, the meager hair.
Never heard of the song. What did they do?
18 people they killed and sold the bodies to Dr. Knox. £10 for a large, 8 for a small. That's good business, Joseph.
Where did they get the people?
That was hair.
So... really good movie. So I have to provide commentary under copyright law. Go see it. It's amazing. You can get it for like $3 on Google, and but I love it. It's one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite thriller movies.
What's it called again?
The Body Snatcher.
The Body Snatcher.
It's based
on
a short story
okay.
by Robert Louis Stevenson.
Oh sure.
And he was inspired by this incident. It's really interesting.
All right, I will definitely watch
it. Huge, massive. A cultural event. Now, while this is going on, their last victim, which was a distant relative of Burke's, which cold,
very
cold, even a distant relative, their family.
Right? How money grubby are you that you're going to kill a relative, someone you know?
Apparently, it was a distant relative, but throughout family. So, Marjorie, I'm going to try and pronounce his name. Docherty.
Sure, Docherty.
Yeah. I'm Irish, I should be able to do this. But Mary Docherty was their undoing. So...
good for her.
Well, not so much. kind of. You're about to find out. So here's what happened is a husband-wife pair named the Grays were staying at Hare's.
Hare's boarding house?
They were staying at Hare's, and then they went to Burke's because... Okay. Hare wanted to be alone with Mary. They came up with some excuse to get him out. And they came back the next day. They found the body in Hare's lodging house. And they're like, she was fine. You obviously killed her. And they're like, no. Okay, we did kill her. And they tried to bribe them. But the Grays refused the bribe.
If you refuse... Okay, so I know you killed someone. and then they're like, here, I'll pay you off so you don't say anything, mm-hmm. I'd be like, okay, just don't kill me.
I'd take the money, then go to the cops.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then I'd probably donate the money to charity just so I wouldn't be a betrayer. It's just, oh, well, you're a murderer. But I think
a reward. Think of it as a reward.
I think Burke was not that bad of a guy, but we can get to that later.
Okay.
Because there's some evidence that he was... We'll get to that later.
Okay.
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Okay.
So they found Marjorie's body. When the police came back, there was no body because they obviously had hidden it, got rid of it. And they killed a lot of people. And even some one of them, Dr. Knox, is supposedly recognized. But he cut off the head and the foot before dissecting the body.
Oh.
So Dr. Knox was, you know, was complicit in this.
Yeah, like, oh.
But when the police came, there's no story, but the conflicting stories gave them all away.
That'll do it every mm-hmm. time.
Mm-hmm.
Never lie, you never have to remember anything.
So when all this came out, Janet Brown was like, oh, they did this. So all these witnesses and victims and things like that started to come out. You know, Dr. Knox was said he was had no idea this was going on, but he probably did. He knew something was going on.
You gotta wonder.
You know, like, where are they getting all these perfect corpses?
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any dirt on them.
Right.
What a surprise.
But he didn't ask.
Didn't ask, don't ask, don't tell. So... But he was disgraced, but got away with it and moved to London and became a famous doctor down there. I think he changed his name, did that whole deal. Because back then, both these men were already, by the way, Burke and Hare,
mm-hmm.
both had wives and just left them, which you could do back then.
Sure.
There's no Facebook.
Right.
There's no Twitter.
Can't track them down.
Yeah. It was just like, all right, I'm tired of this life. I'm going to go start a new one. You'll never find me.
Well, it's probably good for those women that they
should be. Well, yeah.
Who knows?
No,
seriously, though, if I found out my husband left me and then later he killed 18 people, I'd be like, well, dodged a bullet there.
Woo! Oh, this is much better. So, so here's what happened. Hare was offered immunity for testifying against Burke and Helen, and the trial began Christmas Eve, 1828. So here's what happened. They were charged with all the murders. Burke was just charged with Daugherty and Mary, James Wilson and Mary Patterson. But Helen, his girlfriend's complicity, kind of wasn't found under Scottish law. So what happened was basically Burke took the fall for the whole thing. It's why I think, because he was a better person than Hare.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're both evil murderers. But he was religious. Mm-hmm. He was known to be kind. Mm-hmm. He had better qualities than Hare did. Hare was known to be a violent, rude, mean alcoholic. And Margaret was supposed to be just as bad.
So Hare rolled over on him.
Yeah, Hare rolled over on him. So, so Burke was hanged, as we discussed earlier. And here's where it gets weird. They actually...
Oh, it wasn't before.
Yeah. Trigger alert. Trigger warning. His skeleton is still on display in Surgeons Hall in Edinburgh next to his death mask.
Cool.
And, yeah, because that was a thing back then. They would take masks of people.
I don't get that at all.
I don't get it either. It's creepy. People... I mean, everyone needs a hobby, but you should find a different one.
Yeah.
So... moving along, you can still see his, but the poetic justice of this is, since you kill those people, you're going to become a surgical experiment. Nice. And his skin was used to bind a book. That's where it gets really
weird. Oh, okay. Blah. Yeah. Blah.
This is Halloween.
Yeah, right.
Hare was actually released and escaped to England. Sure. No one really knows what happened to him, but it said that everyone else was cleared of involvement, and they basically just moved on with their lives, which is horrifying.
So he just kind of got away with it.
Yeah, they all got away with it. Burke, I have this weird suspicion that Burke was like the only nice person in the group, because I've read evidence about him, yada, yada, et cetera, and it seems like he wasn't as bad of a person as his accomplices. But you never know with people. Here is the silver lining in all of this. All this goes down. And then there was... in 1831, there were murders committed by the London Burkers, which I got to research more into, mm-hmm. but there was London Burkers murderers as well. And everyone realized this is just horrible. And something has to be done. So the Anatomy Act was passed in 1832, which allowed doctors, lecturers, and students greater access to cadavers and the legal donation of people into... So you could, that way you could donate your body towards science. And that's silver lining, because who knows how many people they helped.
Yes, that's very smart. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's good.
So what do you think about all this? I think part of it is when you make something illegal, you put money into criminals' pockets and turn a lot of good, normal people into criminals most of the time. I mean, unless you're banning something like heroin. But
no, yeah, you're right. Yeah, something that's so simple as a doctor who desperately needs bodies to do good research that mm-hmm. will help humanity, why not let him have some? But, you know, I think there was just some religious overlays going on about that, and it's too bad because it could have done a lot of good and saved the lives of a lot of people.
I mean, and you know, change doesn't happen in a vacuum. You know, necessity is the mother of invention.
Yeah,
and all of that. And a lot of people say, well, why can't we just use our heads and be better? Well, it's because people are people, and there has to be some sort of reason for change.
Yeah, there does, for sure. Well, unfortunately now that's not an issue, but killings still happen anyway. And...
Oh yeah, crime still happens, organized crime still happens.
Well, thank you for sharing that story, as grisly as it was, with us today.
Yeah, that little book fact kind of freaked me out when I read it. I'm like, should I include this in the show? Yeah, I'm going to do it. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Well, we're not quite at Halloween yet. We got more to go. We may find some more creepy Halloween stories to share with everybody. And I'll get the wine right next time, although this was very good.
Yeah, it was actually really good. Thank you, La Crema.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what we're doing next week?
I don't know.
Guess. Because we actually
can't.
Talked about it.
I don't know. You have to tell me.
The Mill City Explosion.
Oh, yeah.
In the Twin Cities.
Right in our backyard. Yay.
Right in our own backyard. I thought we'd do something local.
Awesome. We should. And we'll drink some local wine. Because actually, I had some Minnesota wine at the Minnesota State Fair. I was completely expecting to hate it. And I didn't. I'm like, wow, it's pretty good.
That says a lot about how you feel about your own state.
Well, you know, it's...
Technically, it's my state because I was born here. But...
It's not California. I lived in California, so I'm kind of partial to their wine. And I wasn't expecting much, and I was pleasantly surprised. So we'll just end it there, and we'll see what we come up with.
No offense to Minnesota wine brewers, by the way.
Okay, yeah. I'll just stop there. But
I've said far worse things on this show, so I can't really dig you. So... Thank you all so much for listening. And remember,
if it weren't for history, we wouldn't be here. Bye-bye, everybody.